Father Alar is joining us once again this week as we discuss the sacraments, and we continue our discussion on the sacraments of healing today, the anointing of the sick. Good morning, Father Alar. Thanks for being with me today.
Oh, thank you. It's always nice to talk about this important topic and, understanding the sacraments. We're hoping, I'm hoping that my new book will reach some of the listeners to be able to really understand this deeper than what we've been taught just in our classes.
Well, Father Alar, I'll tell you this for sure. I've learned so much from our discussions, and I've been, partaking in the sacraments since I was a baby, when I was baptized. In my whole life, I've had this, and there is still so much for us to learn.
Yes.
Now, the sacrament we're talking about today is the anointing of the sick. Now, this is an interesting one because way back when we did our initial discussions, I talked about that Baltimore Catechism and learning what is a sacrament. When I was learning about the sacraments, back when I was in the second grade, we called this one last rites, because it made it seem like, well, this is for the very elderly or people who are on their deathbed. But now we use the term anointing of the sick. So when is this sacrament incurred upon a person?
No, it's last rites is different. Last rites has never been just anointing of the sick. Last rites includes confession, anointing of the sick, and final viaticum. It's the receiving of the Eucharist. There's a whole rite that goes with the final sacraments. Just like the sacraments you receive when you come into the church, you receive the series of sacraments on your deathbed. And so anointing of the sick is just part of what's called the last rites.
Okay.
And so it's used to be called unction, final unction, but it is it's based on James chapter 5, verse 14, that said, is anyone among you sick? And it says he should summon the presbyters. Now that means priests of the church, and they should pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. And so this goes on to talk about they will anoint him with oil there in chapter 5 of James. And so the anointing of the sick is administered to bring, yes, physical healing, but also spiritual healing. We have to realize that it is a powerful tool. It brings healing of the body, but it also brings healing of the soul. It gets you prepared for heaven. We have to be careful, though. A lot of people think because they go to a healing mass, and a lot of priests mislead people here. A lot of people come up and line up like communion lines, and give them an anointing with oil. And people think that's the sacrament. That is not the sacrament of anointing of the sick. Anointing means blessing. So technically it is an anointing, but it's not the proper anointing of the sick sacrament. That has to have the rite where your oil is placed on your forehead and on your palms, and the particular rite is given by the priest following the rubrics of the church. And that's not what you get at a healing mass. A healing mass is just a blessing with a particular oil. We do that here at the Shrine of Divine Mercy with the Faustina oil, but it's not a sacramental anointing. Sacramental anointings are not to be given out like party favors. People come to me all the time, oh, Father, I've been struggling with headaches. Can you please anoint me? And priests just, they do this, they anoint left and right, and that's not what the sacrament is for. It is supposed to be for those who are in danger of death or who are at the point of death. And even another big misconception is that whenever you go under anesthesia, that in almost 98% of priests think this, as soon as you're going under anesthesia, you can get an anointing. That's not true. If you're going under anesthesia for ingrown toenail to be removed, you do not get anointed, even if you're under anesthesia, because the point that brings about the anointing is that the sickness itself has to be putting you in danger of death. And an ingrown toenail doesn't do that. Or, you know, like maybe a foot surgery. That doesn't do that. And so a lot of people don't understand that. It isn't because the church is trying to cut back and deny the sacrament. It's just because it's not a proper use of the sacrament. And so you have to be physically sick. And that's what, like, if I'm going under anesthesia and, you know, I'm physically sick, I need a heart operation and I'm dying, then yes, you do get anointed. But we have to know the difference. And so it's important to talk about it.
Father Alar, is the anointing, though, I mean, with so much focus, and you've talked about this too, so much focus on the physical healing of the body, that the mental healing for people who suffer severe depression, who are on the verge of maybe suicidal thought, is that something that can fall into this? When you look at a person who goes, I don't have a physical healing, but my life is in danger.
The sickness has to be intrinsic. This is shocking to so many people. Suicidal ideation is not grounds for anointing, because you are making an act of the will to take your life. Your body in and of itself, by itself, is not in danger of death, because you're not, I'm not going to just die in my chair because I want to take my life. I have to make that conscious effort to make an act of the will. And so the church teaches it has to be intrinsic. So I have to have an intrinsic illness that is actually putting me at the point of death or in danger of death, an intrinsic sickness that's intrinsic. The ideation to take your life is extrinsic. And so this is where a lot of people don't understand. You know, the sacrament, also the way we repeat it is another thing. So many times people will come so we had very good teachers, a Dominican priest at the Dominican House of Studies, and they said, problem is priests give these things out like party favors. It is not. If you are sick and there's no change in your condition, you don't get anointed again. I mean, I saw priests anointing people every other day. They were coming back for an anointing, and there was no change in their condition. That's an abuse of the sacrament. The sacrament, if you are sick with cancer, and you're holding steady, you don't get reanointed again. Now, if you go to a higher level stage of cancer, or your cancer worsens or spreads farther, then yes, you get anointed again. Or if you get better, let's suppose I have cancer and then all of a sudden I get anointed and later I'm healed and it's declared gone. I'm like, great. And then all of a sudden it comes back. Then yes, you get anointed again. And so if you've been anointed and are no longer ill, then you should not get anointed again. And so Canon Law 1007 says the anointing of the sick is not to be conferred on those who persevere obstinately in grave sin. This is another thing. People will have me try to go anoint their relatives who've been, you know, living and cohabitating and haven't gone to Mass for years. Again, this is not the church trying to deny grace. This is the church just saying, you're not properly prepared to receive the grace. And so, anointing prepares a sick person for the journey to the Father. Mm. And, you know, that's true. It's not just for the dying. This is not just last rites. Because, as I said, last rites include confession, confirmation, if it's lacking, and anointing of the sick, and viaticum. But this is not what that is. Now, if the priest is arrives late and the person has gone into unconsciousness, what does the priest do? Yes, he can anoint conditionally. That, you know, if the person's unconscious, the priest can anoint with the assumption that, okay, they would have wanted this anointing and they would have been properly disposed for it. Now, if they didn't want it or they're not properly disposed for it, then they won't receive the grace. But the priest, if he doesn't know, can do it conditionally. This is very important. For those on account of age, the church teaches on account of age or infirmity, meaning they're in some grave danger, not necessarily dying, but in grave danger, like having cancer. If I have cancer, I may not die tomorrow. I might live, you know, a while with it, but I can get anointed because I'm in danger. It's a serious situation. And the power of it is it removes sins and the punishment, especially if you get the apostolic pardon. And so it, in a way, it completes the sacrament of confession. We just talked about confession last episode. And anointing actually completes the sacrament of confession because the confession removes the sin itself, but the anointing can also remove the punishment. And it gives forgiveness of sins, even if the person is unable to confess. In confession, that doesn't work that way. If you're not able to confess, you confession is not going to work. But this one can be done even if the person slips into unconsciousness. So there are a lot of things here in this book, the book Understanding the Sacraments, that I don't think a lot of Catholics know.
And Father Aylor, with just a moment left in our time today, with receiving of the anointing of the sick as a sacrament, but you are not saying, though, that people who are undergoing some type of, you know, surgery or in anesthesia, that we can't ask for a blessing.
For instance, you mentioned the suicide person. The proper thing is not for the person not to go get any help from the priest. He still goes for the help, but the priest might pray some deliverance prayers over them. The priest may pray some binding prayers of the evil, and give a blessing. In other words, the church accommodates the need, but it's just that's not anointing because the person, their physical condition is not intrinsic. It's a choice they're going to make. And so what they need is something like, you know, some freedom, you know, deliverance prayers. And so that's more powerful in this situation.
Excellent. Thank you, Father Aylor. You are such a deep wealth of information for us today, and we appreciate your book. And we're going to continue our discussion next week as we move on to holy orders. We want to know about your priesthood. And thanks so much for being with me.
Okay, thank you.